Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, the day when Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters questioned his sanity, he went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wasn't it a strange thing for Jesus to say when he told the crowd, "Let anyone with ears listen"? After all, everyone there had ears, we can assume. So what did he mean? Well, those ancient hearers would have recognized in his words the echo of the Shema, the ancient Jewish prayer. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And it would have brought back the words of Moses, "But you shall return and hear," or obey, Shema, "the voice of the Lord thy God. And you shall do all the commandments which I command you this day." That also is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 8. It would also have brought to mind the warnings of the prophets of old, like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Hear this from Ezekiel chapter 12. "Son of man, you live among rebels who have eyes but refuse to see. They have ears, but refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious people." So this order from the lips of Jesus had historical weight to it. But we're removed from these historical references. We know that people have ears, and therefore we assume that they hear what is said in their presence. But people don't always listen to what they hear, do they? That thought reminded me of experiences I had with my mother. I used to be amazed at what happened when she was reading a good book. I could speak to her, call to her, even drop something in the next room, and she'd continue reading as if I hadn't made any sound at all. The only way I could catch her attention was to stand directly in front of her and just wait for her to surface from the world of that book. If I touched her, it would frighten her and she'd jump. So I'd just be patient and wait for her attention to turn to me. My mother certainly had ears, and she could hear while not listening. And she only rarely complained about her husband not listening when she spoke or tuning her out. It's curious that Jesus gives his instruction after he's finished telling the parable that is our gospel text for today. Since he didn't warn the people in advance, did that mean that anyone who wasn't paying careful attention was just out of luck? They had missed the parable? Possibly so. But I think that Jesus was actually taking the burden off the hearers. Nowhere in this passage, not in the initial telling of the parable, nor in the explanation to the disciples in the second part of it, nowhere does Jesus suggest that the hearers themselves are in control of how they hear. You who have ears to hear, listen, is not a moral imperative, as though we are capable of hearing by sheer force of will. And to relate hearing to the terms of Jesus' parable, we're not able to be good soil simply through our own determination. No, and his statement is not a moral judgment either, as though we are to infer that we are in some way responsible for being like the hard path that can't provide a fertile bed for seed sown on it. We needn't feel guilty if we don't understand something Jesus teaches. There's a great tradition of people not understanding Jesus, isn't there? Jesus is There are some who don't pay attention at all. There are some who are quick to adopt something they've heard, but who can't follow through. There are some who are initially interested, but then have other priorities that get in the way of sticking with what they've heard. And then there are some who take to heart what they've heard and put it into action immediately and long term. That's just the way it is. The disciples will become sowers of God's word, so they need to know that this is the way it is. They should anticipate that their future audiences won't universally welcome, receive, listen to Jesus' message that they will be sharing. And as we will see in the next several weeks, Jesus told this parable at the beginning of a series of seven parables that for us are found in Matthew 13. So he's giving notice to disciples who will hear that they should listen in the future as well. His disciples in the day of his life on earth, as well as us, 2,020 years later. Seen in this light, you who have ears to hear, listen, becomes an opportunity for those who had not been paying attention, for those who had been apathetic, for those who had been concentrating on maybe their children or their neighbors, too hard to stop and listen, to really listen to what's coming next. We know that God's word has power to accomplish what it says. That's how creation occurred. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And as Jesus exclaims the imperative, "Listen," the Holy Spirit is actually giving hearers ears to hear and hearts of good soil in which God's word will grow. The Spirit uses Jesus' words to turn the hearts of some people, to strengthen those of others, and to bring forth fruit from still others. For even if some people have completely missed the parable of the sower, they have now heard Jesus call to listen to the rest of the parables. These are the ones that will be familiar to us. They begin, "The kingdom of heaven is like." So as I said, we'll consider some of them in the coming weeks. This action of the Holy Spirit, we can think of as a Pentecost experience. The Spirit goes forth with the word of God so that there is actual understanding, not simply the registering of sounds that come into our ears and into our brains. And disciples' understanding leads to obedience because of who is speaking. Where there is understanding, queer hearers are permitted by God's grace to recognize in Jesus the very first fruits of the new creation, then their fruit will be forthcoming as well. Just as surely as ears of corn grow from stalks or peaches fall from trees. Jesus makes clear that neither the sowers nor the hearers are in control of the outcome of the listening experience. It is the Holy Spirit that brings forth the fruit in those to whom God has given ears to hear. Some will have a small harvest, some a modest harvest, and some will enjoy an abundant harvest, however God determines. But let's keep in mind that fruit bearing is not a competition, as though someone is better because he or she has greater abilities than someone else to bear fruit. No, all of the harvest is of God, in accordance with what God has appointed to each hearer for God's purposes to be used in God's creation. Our prayer then is for God to open our ears to understand, to receive the seed of God's word into our hearts and minds, and to put that word into action in our everyday lives. This morning, it's fairly easy to be like a member of the crowd at the lakeside where Jesus was teaching. We heard God's word being read, and now we have heard it proclaimed for our greater understanding, I hope. But what about tomorrow? How will we use our ears to listen during each day of the week between Sundays? Because it's not just Jesus to whom we need to listen. If we are to be effective in sharing the gospel, we need to be able to hear where the people we speak to are at the times we encounter them. We have to be able to speak in terms that are meaningful to them, treating them with the respect to which they are entitled, so that we meet them as sisters or brothers created by God and for whom Christ died. This is especially so today, when old patterns are rightfully being abandoned and equality of human beings is sought. And we don't have to wait for Jesus to come down to the lakeshore or into the church building or onto the Zoom broadcast to share the gospel with other people. We have Bibles, we have smartphones with Bible apps, we have computers and iPads and other devices with whole libraries of scripture. We even have devotional books that contain scripture in them. If anyone present today doesn't have access to scripture in any form, let me know before you leave the meeting. We'll cure that deficiency. Each day, as we open God's word, Jesus speaks to us and calls us to listen and to put his teaching into action. In this way, we, like Jesus' first disciples, are hearers who are made sowers, spreading the message of the kingdom of God coming into our world. In Luther's Catechism, in the section on the Lord's Prayer, we learn that, quote, "God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, into the world to redeem and to deliver us from the power of the devil and to bring us to himself, and to govern us as a king of righteousness, life, and salvation against sin, death, and an evil conscience. To this end, he has also bestowed his Holy Spirit, who is to bring these things home to us by God's holy word, and to illumine and strengthen us in the faith by Christ's power. Luther continued, therefore, we pray that this may become effective with us, and that Jesus' name be praised, be so praised through the holy word of God and a Christian life, that we who have accepted it may abide in it and daily grow in it, and that it may gain acceptance and adherence among other people and proceed with power throughout the world. In this way, many may find entrance into the kingdom of grace and be made partakers of redemption, being led thereto by the Holy Spirit, in order that thus we may all together remain forever in the one kingdom now begun. So said Martin Luther. So God's reign comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace, we believe his holy word and we lead a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. God's reign comes to us when the Spirit gives us ears to hear God's word and the ability to listen to that word and to live by. God's will is done when all the hindrances to the seed thriving and bearing fruit are removed, and we are good soil for God's word. This is Jesus' greatest desire for us. It is why his Spirit is with us when we worship, week after week, and also with each of us in our out-of-church lives, day by day. The sower is here, speaking, feeding, giving himself fully to us. You who have ears to hear, listen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.